Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll tell you this, if I could guarantee a Super Bowl, there's a whole hell of a lot of things that I would do, and there's a whole hell of a lot of people that I could do away with. I will say that I wouldn't trade in any amount of money. I'll gladly cut off a finger if that's what it takes.
A finger?
I
mean, all right. A finger, all right, so what are we thinking? A pinky?
The most non-essential finger you have is your ring finger.
And I could part ways with my ring finger.
Well, how about that? Joe Casper, Eagles safeties coach there, says he would cut off his ring finger for a ring, which actually is kind of ironic because it's his ring finger and he would get a ring if they do win the Super Bowl. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. We're live today from Radio Row down in New Orleans. We're going to have Greg Olson with us a little bit later in this hour. We're going to have Elliot Shore Parks as well. Your phone call's coming up. But here we just heard Joe Casper there, Eagles safeties coach, saying he would give up a finger if it meant winning a Super Bowl. Hugh Douglas, if I could take you back to 2004, would you have given up a finger for a championship?
I gave up an arm, Joe. I gave up an arm. I remember when I came back to Philadelphia, and you know, a friend of mine said, "Fool, you better go back to Philly. They're going to Super Bowl. They just got T.O. Trot came back to town," and I was on my money grab, and I remember getting a phone call from a close friend of mine. He said, "Fool, you better take your ass back to Philly. They're going to the Super Bowl." And I remember in that first game back, I tore my rotator cuff and a piece of my bicep. And Doc told me, he said, "Hey, you know, if you have this surgery, if we make it to the Super Bowl, you're not gonna be in the game because you know the lengthy time that it takes to recover from that is lengthy." So I looked at it and I said, "You know what, man, this is probably my last go round. So I want to be on the field for that." Now, and another thing was that we were in a position where we had just locked the roster in, and there was nobody else out there that the Eagles could get. So they would have been a man down out there playing. So it was a sacrifice that I made, man, and I know I wasn't the player that I would have liked to be in that situation, but I wasn't going to miss it for the world. And as the months progressed and my arm got worse, I mean, it got to the point where it was like, hey, it was at the point of no return. Wasn't gonna play anymore, but I was a part of the journey, you know. Didn't contribute the way that I wanted to, but to be a part of that journey, man, I wouldn't have changed that for the world.
Well, and how did it change your chances of playing more than that, right? Like
because
if you had surgery, you probably have a better chance of playing the next year.
If I would have had surgery, because I only had a 1-year deal with the Eagles, I probably could have caught on with another team.
Yeah.
I would have been in training camp. And who knows what would have happened, because I would have been in a better situation to actually be healthy. And who knows? Maybe I could have got a couple more three sacks in a game or whatever.
Does she do anything for us?
Yeah, maybe I could have did that. But I knew that by putting myself in that situation that I probably wasn't going to play anymore. But I was okay with that.
So how about that? Hugh Douglas gave up an arm for the Eagles to try to win a Super Bowl.
A whole arm.
So what's a finger for Joe Casper?
What's a finger? Man,
now, if you had to give up a finger, which one would you give up?
Probably one of the pinkies.
Pinky?
Pinky finger.
You can't get rid of the thumb. The thumb's crucial.
No, you need the thumb. That's the one. It's the thumb and one of these middle fingers right here,
crucial.
Right, that you need.
You can't do anything without your thumb.
Yeah. So probably the pinky.
See, Joe Casper said he would give up his ring finger, but don't you need the ring finger to put the ring on?
Like that's, yeah, I think he's a little bit – that's a lot. But, man, this game and being in this situation – I appreciate everybody's passion for this moment and all this stuff, but it's different when you actually play in it.
Well, no question.
I couldn't part with any fingers, I don't think.
You wouldn't part with a finger?
No.
How about a toe?
No. Like.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
Toe?
I have a few friends I don't really care for that I'd sacrifice for the Super Bowl. So.
Oh, so your own fingers and toes, no, but you'd give up another human being.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
this is about me at the end of the day.
I know it is. If we polled the city of Philadelphia and asked people this in 2017, I think everyone would have given up something significant. I'm not sure if it's the same, quite the same now. You know what I mean, Kyle? Like, not that people don't want them to win, but they finally got one. It's not quite the same
different.
Fervor.
Yeah, it's this place was rabid and dying for a championship in general, let alone a Super Bowl championship. And not that people still don't care or don't care anymore, but it's you could definitely feel it a little bit less than you did at that time.
Yeah, I think people are less likely to give up fingers, toes, or their people they know. Yeah, it's just a little bit different. 215-592-9494. For now, Brandon Graham has sacrificed here, trying to come back here off of what was thought to be a season-ending torn triceps. So there is an update here, Hugh. According to Jordan Schultz, Brandon Graham said he remains on track to play Sunday in what will be his final NFL game. Hugh, that was the thought, that this was going to be BG's last year anyway. But remember he got hurt, and then it was like, well, maybe he's going to come back next year because he doesn't want to go out that way. It feels like it's come back full circle. If BG's probably going to retire after this game. This is probably his last game.
Yeah, and he'll probably retire and walk in and start working with us at some point. But yeah, I mean, what a way to go out, man. I mean, if he gets a chance to play in this game and play well, you couldn't ask for a better ending to a storied career.
There's no question. He's had an amazing Eagles career, and hopefully he's got one more play left in him here. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Does Jalen Hurts need to outplay Patrick Mahomes on Sunday in Super Bowl 59? It's funny, most of our callers today have said no. Twitter, though, says yes. 55% say yes, 45% say no. Let's grab Bill in Warrington. We got Greg Olson coming up in about 15 minutes. What's up, Bill?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Bill.
What's up, man?
It's been about a 2.5-hour wait, but great to talk to you guys again.
Well, Bill, we appreciate your patience, and we're happy to have you on the show.
You guys are either raking in dough, or I'm one of the biggest dorks on the planet, but either way, it's all good.
Both,
yeah. I like that. Go ahead, Bill.
I'll get right to the point, because I know Hugh doesn't like a long talker. But the defense, I think, is going to be a huge key. Like, my question for you is, how much better is Kansas City's offensive line than the Washington Redskins? Is it
they're
that much better?
I think they're pretty good offensive line.
But much better than the Redskins?
They're a better offensive line.
So what I would say to that, Bill, is their interior seems to be what everyone has told us.
They're a little nasty. So they got nasty about them.
My reasoning is.
You asked the question.
Patrick Mahomes is not getting away from Nolan Smith like Jaden Daniels did. He's not as fast. So he's going to make him get a little crazy, and he's going to do his new look throw passes to the middle, and Cooper Dejean's going to eat him up, I think. This is going to come down to defense, because I think Nolan Smith's too fast for everyone, and he's going to put a lot of pressure, and then Brandon Graham's going to go out on his shield. He's going to be hype. So Nolan Smith might be feeding him or vice versa, but Smith is fast, and Jaden Daniels – He did well, but, I mean, they're Patrick Mahomes. There's no Jaden Daniels when it comes to running and mobility.
He's not, so I think we'd agree with that. But Mahomes has a tendency, Bill, to break off big run. Like, there's something about Mahomes, too. He's deceptively fast.
He is. Listen. Let's not go in there in this game thinking that he's not going to – he has the ability to run.
He does.
He does. Man, he has the ability to run. Man.
The wild part is he saves his running
does.
For the postseason. He doesn't run much during the season. Then you get to the January and February, and he's running all over the place.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, Smith, he's so fast. And if Daniels couldn't really get away, I don't know if Mahomes is going. I just think he's going to end up throwing passes to the middle, looking for Hopkins or somebody, and I think we're just going to have – Cooper Dejean's going to be there picking them off. I just see it happening.
Well, that'd be huge. I mean, Bill, I mean, I want that to happen. And then I think Nolan Smith's an X factor. Is the way it's been framed to us, Hugh, from the people we've talked to in Kansas City this week, and we have our neighbors next to us. We hopped on their show the other day. The way they frame it is the interior of the Chiefs' O-line. That's their strength. Their tackles, that's where you might be able to get them. So maybe Nolan Smith has a huge game.
Yeah, but if, like, I think the reason why Nolan was able to eat is because of the pressure Jalen Carter was allowed to bring from that middle position. It's going to be a little different. Nolan's probably going to have to work a little bit harder to get sacks, but I can see that being the case. That Big Red's not going to let Nolan Smith tee off on his quarterback now. When they get in passing situations, you best believe there's going to be a chipper over there. There's going to be somebody that's not going to give Nolan Smith that free release that he's wanted. And then on top of that, the quarterback is going to know that there's going to be some times where he's probably going to be running free. He's going to let the ball go.
And Mahomes does that. There was a lot of Chiefs games this year where their protection wasn't great, and he just got it out very, very quickly. He does that, and it's going to be a big part of the game today. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls. We'll also be joined here by Greg Olson, Fox broadcaster. He called the last Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl 2 years ago. We'll have him with us here, his thought on Jalen, on this game, on the Mahomes matchup, Fangio versus Reed. We will talk to Greg Olson live here on Radio Row coming up next. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hey, Philly, a great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. True Green is the local expert in Philly and the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They know a lot about keeping grass looking like a fairway. It's more affordable than you think. They'll even match any competitor's price. True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Head to truegreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results. Welcome back. Midday Show live in New Orleans. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're live on Radio Row, and joining us right now, Kyle, we're going to have Greg Olson sit down with us
Greg.
Here.
Yeah, and in the big game, DraftKings will be offering all customers a touchdown bet match. Simply opt in, place any touchdown bet, receive a bonus bet equal to the original stake.
Greg, how you doing, man?
Doing great, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here, Greg, because I like to have a guy like you because you watch the game differently from your perspective than I do from a defensive perspective. So I'm going to ask you, in this game in particular, with Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, do you feel that what you've seen from Jalen, that he has to play above and beyond himself in order to win this football game?
I don't. I don't think he needs to be anything different. I think the version that we saw last week or 2 weeks ago in the NFC Championship game, obviously when you run for seven rushing touchdowns and Saquon, and I understand so much of the conversation gets dominated by the run game and Saquon, and rightfully so. But when you look at some of the big moment plays last week, the touchdown before the half, some of the gotta-have-it moments, they came through the air. And I think what everyone has to make sure they're clear on is just because Jalen Hurts is not a high-volume passer does not mean he's not an effective and efficient passer. The style in which Philadelphia plays is a style which is very unique to them because of the offensive line and the run game, and they play with a lead, and the defense is so good. So all of those factors, you're not going to throw the ball for 350 yards. You're not going to play in a lot of shootouts. Now, can they play in a shootout? We saw them play in a shootout 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, and obviously they came up short, but, I mean, it was right there, both teams over 30. So I think Jalen Hurts has shown from the pocket, on time, with the weapons that he has, he is an effective, efficient, highly efficient quarterback. On the run, the big plays, downfield, he's a better scramble runner than he is a scramble passer. But I think when he's in the pocket playing within rhythm, I think he doesn't need to do anything other than rely on those weapons, continue to distribute the ball, get the ball out of his hand on time.
What's your guess on how Steve Spagnuolo is going to defend them? Because 2 years ago, you mentioned that Super Bowl, you were on the call for that game.
Yep.
Jalen had a really good game. He had the one turnover, but most of the time, he was moving the ball down the field.
He was incredible,
Now, last year, these two teams played on a Monday night game, and Jalen did not have a great game. Eagles won that game, low-scoring game, kind of an ugly game, but Spagnuolo blitzed them a lot. They sacked him five times. Do you think they're coming after him, or do you think they're going to play more coverage and try to make Hurts hold the ball and see what he's seeing out there?
Yeah, so I think the last couple matchups, Spags has brought a lot of pressure, and I think if I'm in Spags' shoes and I'm part of this plan, I'm saying I want to blitz him up the middle. I want to get him off his spot. I want to make him run sideways. I don't want him stepping up in the pocket. He's able to become a scramble runner, and he picks up first downs, and he converts, you know, third downs and whatnot with his legs. I want to get him running sideways. I want to get him running ideally to his left. The defense is right. But either way, get him running sideways. I'm playing hard inside leverage. They want to run those in-breaking routes, big body of A.J. Brown. They're going to mix in some man coverage. Obviously, A.J. Brown is a nightmare man coverage player on the offensive side of the ball. So those are the thoughts that I would have if I want to slow them down. And then the question becomes how much do you want to allocate towards Saquon Barkley? And everyone always talks about, okay, how many players do you want to allocate towards the run game? Do you play one safety, two safeties? My first question that we try to lay out on our broadcast and we try to paint to the viewer is, My ability to turn the ball around to Saquon Barkley is completely contingent upon my defense's ability to stop Patrick Mahomes. If you stop Patrick Mahomes, you can turn around and hand the ball to Saquon Barkley as many times as you want. If all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes in this offense comes out hot and you fall behind,
yep,
the value of that run game is completely diminished. So that's probably the element that people don't spend enough time. It's not just stopping Saquon Barkley. It's playing defense, which they've done a great job, playing defense well enough the entire game against Mahomes to make the run game even worthwhile. That's the question.
You know, I'm curious because you talk about we've been talking about Jalen Hurts all week long and everything, but I'm curious from your perspective and the way this defense has been playing, how do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to attack this Eagles defense?
You know, I'll tell you, there's not a lot of places to attack. I mean,
yeah, because I was thinking not
this
to get
is
ahead
a
of
really
you,
good defense.
But I was thinking because it feels to me just on the surface that there might be something there when you talk about the young secondary players that you have.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do some things to confuse them. Maybe you think that there's something there that he can exploit.
Yeah, I mean, I think all three levels of that Philadelphia defense under Vic Fangio, I think this is even a better unit than they were 2 years ago when they were incredible under Jonathan Gannon. Obviously, last year they took a big step back. I think that was really – so much of it was about Jalen Hurts and the offense. The real issue was last year is they went from having a really good defense under Gannon. He gets the head job. They bring in Sean Desai. They take a significant step backwards. And now this year under Vic Fangio, they go from, you know, 31st in the league in most categories to – arguably number one or two.
Crazy.
So that's really the conversation around the defense, and they've done it with a lot of young players, right? And we all talk about Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Nolan Smith playing really well as he's gotten more and more time along the front. Zach Bond is a critical piece. He can play both levels. But it's the young secondary, right? It's Mitchell. It's Reed Blankenship. I know he's been around for a while, but again, just continuing to improve. And then obviously Cooper DeJean. So I'm with you. I do think if there is any vulnerability, I do think the pass rush, I do think the threat of the pass rush, teams get the ball out really quickly against Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
They almost tell themselves, all right, we're not going to sit back here and hold it real long because I know that rush is coming. I know we have some tough matchups. So I think you can, if you can protect, I think you can challenge Philadelphia on the back end, medium to deep zones, man coverage downfield. So, but again, the question everyone has is how long are you willing to hold the ball to attack those areas of the defense and try to exploit them. That's the balance that teams kind of every week go into. You know, I have all these great plays, but can you protect it?
Yeah, till you get to those great plays.
Yeah, that you have guys running all over the place if you want. You know, quarterback's not going to complete the ball on his back.
What makes the Chiefs so good in these one-score games? 17 straight, it's ridiculous. I mean, you could do this the next 20 years. You'll never see a team probably do this again. Is it something they're doing stylistically? Is Andy Holt something back? Why are they so good late in the game?
Well, it's a combination of a lot of things. It helps when you have Patrick Mahomes. And I don't care about yards, stats. He doesn't throw for the high volume maybe he did earlier in his career. The defense is a lot better. They run the ball a little bit more. Maybe some of his weapons since Tyreek have changed. The style in which they play, which was that deep strike offense, they've really reinvented themselves on offense these last couple years, and it still doesn't seem to matter. In critical moments, right? So we're talking, we saw it last week at the end of the game. They've got to close out a game and not give the ball back and settle for a field goal. They pick up third and fourth and shorts. They get down there in goal-to-go situations when most teams might have to kick a field goal. Incredibly creative to come away with touchdowns, two-point conversions. The gotta-have-it moments, obviously focus on offense. But then on defense, they get the stops. They get the takeaways. So if you have to win a game by just winning more plays than the other team, you're going to do that sometimes. On just a play-by-play basis, can I win more than you win? Sometimes you're just going to be better than them. But in these really competitive games where they could go either way, it's not the team that wins the most individual plays. It's the team that wins the most impactful plays, right? Third downs, goal to go, critical moments of the game. That's been the magic formula. So if the best way for Philadelphia to win this is to get a lead early, keep that lead, and make them play from behind and chase me. Because if this is a back-and-forth game, and this is not unique to Philadelphia, this is not unique to anyone, this is not a knock on anyone, beating them in the gotta-have-it moments, the critical moments, especially if Mahomes has the ball in his hand, people haven't done that very often.
Almost never. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they lose to the Bucks in the Super Bowl.
That's the Bengals.
No, they lost to the Bengals playoffs games, and then they lost to Brady.
Yeah, that's it. He has three playoff losses in 7 years in the NFL.
That's it.
Yeah, I got excited. So, Greg, let me ask you this. You mentioned get up on them, right? Nick Sirianni, he was very aggressive 2 years ago. Remember you guys talking about that during the broadcast 2 years ago. And then as this season has unfolded, he was a little bit less aggressive, I think, because the passing game wasn't great and he realized how great his defense is. Last week, 4th and 5 before halftime, he throws a bomb down the field and they get up on the – do you think we need an aggressive Sirianni in this game or a little bit less? Because we've seen all the different versions of Sirianni.
I think he's got to be as aggressive as he's ever been. Again, aggressive is not reckless, right? So I think the conversation that gets lost in all of this fourth downs and the way teams are managing the game with being more willing to go for fourth downs and how yards to gain and field position is very different than it was 5 years ago.
Sure.
But it's really just taking the optimal. It's not being reckless. It's just being optimal, right? So they have to say, okay, going into this game, if I want to beat Patrick Mahomes, the best chance for me is I'm going in offensively saying I got to be north of 30 points. And then you start chipping that down, every takeaway, every punt, every field goal you force. As the more stops the Philly defense gets, that number now that the offense has to go out and shoot for just continues to come down into the high 20s, so on and so forth. But every possession has to be maximized. Every scoring opportunity has to be maximized. And the advantage that they've had, and they've now refound it, the magic of 2 years ago was third down was second down. From the 40-yard line to the goal line, so for 60 yards, give or take, they start every possession 1st and 8.5. Every 3rd and 5 in every team in the league is a pass beyond the sticks, but not for Philadelphia. Because they know if they get tackled short or they hand the ball off, in this case now to Saquon, 2 years ago it was Miles Sanders, if I get stopped on 4th and 1 on 3rd and medium,
you get tush push.
We're just going to get the first down anyway. It's a free 1.5 to 2 yards. It's a free down. And defenses know that. So now on 3rd and 5, most teams, I'm calling pass. I'm bringing in nickel, third down pressures, and I'm saying you're going to try to throw the ball beyond the sticks. But now as a defensive coordinator, I'm Spags, and I'm saying – I'm playing this like 2nd and 5 because you could hand it off. You could play action. You could throw short of the sticks. You have your entire play because you got to play it like 2nd down because you have an extra down. So, like, that's what made them so good 2 years ago. I think they have a better roster now, but they need to come with that mentality that they came out with where they scored 30-plus and they just couldn't get the stops at the end. But that was the formula. They got off to a fast start. They went for a couple fourth downs. They were super aggressive.
Yep.
They played with a lead. Obviously, you know, that's the formula. If you can play that style with a very talented team, you got a shot.
You know, I'm curious because, you know, you do the national show and you've been around a lot of people. What do you think of Coach Sirianni as a coach?
I love him. I like his style. I know his style is not for everybody.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
I get it.
Because we call him Bubblehead. Some people call him Bubblehead, and they don't like the way that he does things.
What don't the people in Philadelphia like about him? Like, do they not like winning? Like, what do they not like?
They like winning. So, I mean, he did have the incident where he was yelling at the crowd. Like,
they don't like the antics.
I get that.
Yeah,
yeah. And again, fans are proud, and I get it. You shouldn't be yelling at the van.
I think part of it is he's been given such a good roster, it's tough to parse the credit in Philadelphia, right? Great roster. We do this with the quarterback, too. You know, how much of this is just they have the best roster versus how much? Because usually you win a lot, the coach and quarterback and all the credit.
And then it was a question, what does he do? What does he bring to the table?
Call the offense or defense, yeah.
But I think we've seen some of the best coaches in the history of the NFL that don't necessarily call the plays.
For sure.
Right? I mean, they're involved. If you don't think Nick Sirianni's heavily involved with Kellen Moore in the game plan, I think you're wrong. I think he's super involved in the play calling. I think he does a really good job tying in, Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore. When those two plans are put together on both sides of the ball, I don't think they're put together in a silo. They're not put together in a vacuum. They're directly correlated, and he's that conduit, right? He's the piece that blends the offense and the defense approach to make sure they complement one another. You don't just make a defensive plan and say, we're going to stick to our world. You make an offense, and we'll figure it out on Sunday. That's not how the good teams are doing it, right? It is completely mapped out. It's married together. And then I think where he does the best job is I think he puts a lot of time and attention into these got-to-have-it moments, too. The situational football, understanding the identity of his team. It was really the avenue in which they made the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So I think we have to be very careful knocking a quarterback for playing with good players. And I think we have to be very careful knocking a coach for playing with good players. Like, you play with the hand that you're dealt. Mm. And this is now 2 Super Bowls in the last 3 years. I think in his first, 4 years of being a head coach, only one guy's won more games than him. Like, I don't.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot. The resume's good.
Yeah, it's a lot to
Now,
digest.
Could other guys have had this success? Sure, maybe. I'm not saying he's the only guy that could have had success, but, like, would every guy have this success? No. Messaging, continuity, the way you deliver a vision, team meeting, the way you navigate bumps in the road, they could have fallen apart from last year. Last year, the end was a complete disaster.
Well, then they start 2-2 this year, and it felt like an extension.
And he turns it over.
Yep.
And so, like, I think we get so wrapped up in today's day and age calling great plays and the sexy play caller and the rankings and the yards. And don't get me wrong, all that matters. But, like, we don't give guys enough credit for the culture, the vision, the ability to, when things don't go well, can bring the group back together. And how often do we see great teams just completely spiral out of control? It happened to Philly at the end last year. They made some changes in the offseason. He's also replaced multiple coordinators.
And probably has to again now. With
right, so like, I think we have to give him a little credit for that. How many people win the Super Bowl, lose both coordinators to be head coaches, bring in two new guys, they clearly aren't a good match for one way or another, replaces them, and now refines and gets back to the Super Bowl. So that's hard. We're going to see Dan Campbell go through it this year, yep. Who I think is a great coach, but he's going to go through what Sirianni went through 2 years ago, where he's got to continue to rebuild his staff. And there's a beauty and a magic to that, too. It's not just, hey, who's the best coach? It's who's the best fit. And so there's a lot more to being a head coach in the NFL than just calling the plays.
No doubt. Greg, we appreciate it. We know you're a busy guy. Thanks so much for being with us.
Appreciate you guys.
And enjoy Sunday.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Greg Olson with us there on Radio Row. 215-592-94.